AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high-quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear-headed, full of energy, and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop, once a day, before breakfast, and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee, because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. It's the fighting.
Cock a camel turnip.
It's episode 7, season 12 of the Fighting Cock podcast, and it's a bit of a change up to the lineup this week. We've got Mark returning for the second time this season. How you doing, Mark?
Good, mate. Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I mean, I'm irritated, but I am fantastic. And we've also got Tony D. How you doing, mate?
I'm all right, bruv. Did you see
that we put your, a cipher you put together for us, the Fighting Cock, about Conte's reign at Tottenham on last week's episode? Very, very...
I got a lot of love that day, bro.
It was so good. It was so good.
Appreciate it.
No, mate, appreciate you for doing it, but you did dig us out at the end, didn't you?
I did. Because it's been too long, bro. It's been way too long.
It's not my
fault. I don't
even
think I managed to get on last season.
It's not my fault. It is my fault. I mean, I am the one person that could have...
It's your fault, bro. It's your fault. Like, you can't shirk that responsibility.
I didn't mean it.
Oh, all right. I'll take that.
All right, fair enough. We received a... Tottenham Hotspur just drawn with West Ham, and it was very disappointing. A lot of angry people on Twitter, and we're going to talk about all that stuff. Talk about the performance or lack thereof, and get your guys' take on how well we did. But before that, we got an email from a guy called Ken Fagan. I haven't responded to him on email because I just wanted him to hear this. He says, "Hi, I listen to your podcast and can't get enough of it. Lovely." Currently on a boat in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, on a circumnavigation with my cat. Got another 9 months before I get back to the UK. A bit of a struggle to find games, but not miss one yet. Sailing to Mayenne, Madagascar, then South Africa. Namibia, St. Helena, Ascension Island, Cape Verde, Azores, and then eventually he's going to Falmouth. This guy's sailing around the world. He says, I have weeks without Wi-Fi and I will be in the middle of the ocean when you record this, but I will catch up when I get back on land. Give us a shout out. Come on, you Spurs. This guy is listening to the Fighting Cock in the middle of the ocean. He sent a picture of his cat at the end of this fucking boat that he's got. I mean, fucking sounds like I've I've got an issue with it. I've got no issue with this guy. I've got no issue with Ken on his boat. What is he doing, though? That is mental to me, Mark. What?
And why has he brought his cat? I've got two cats, and, mate, they go fucking nuts if they can't go outside all the time and if they can't do exactly what they want. But on a boat.
The cat, the last place in the world this cat wants to be is on your boat, Ken. I get that you need him.
Ken, you're a good guy, I'm sure, but
what if he just freaks out and jumps off into the ocean? I mean, that's...
What have you done?
Dead cat.
Cats don't like water, do they?
Tiki. No, they fucking hate water.
Fucking hate it, mate.
Tiki the sailor cat.
Anyway. That is big, though. Can I just say, I know I say this every single time I'm on, but I'm obviously Danish, and Denmark's surrounded by sea, so I've sailed a lot in my younger days and that, on like tiny little fucking boats, like, you know, two-person sailing boats, shit like that. And sailing is not... It's pretty hairy, man. And if you're sailing that far, like, he's a boss man. He's a big, fat boss man, this guy. Especially if he's on his own. That's a big thing.
Ken is the king, bro. He's genuinely a king. You see, if you had to rely on me to get humanity out, like when the first humans was coming out and they looked across that ocean and someone said, I'm going to get a boat, and that's where we're going. Bro, I'm in the Cape. I'm waiting in the Cape. That's how I know Ken is a legend. Because just that vast expanse of, no thank you, man. No thank you, sir. No,
Ken's a legend. Tony, you know where you come from and the area you grew up in? I'd imagine a sailboat in the middle of the ocean is about as far from me as well. Like, the idea about getting on the fucking boat and then while you're in the boat, just to pass some time to listen to a Tottenham Hotspur podcast called The Fighting Cock is humbling. Like, fuck it. What are you doing, Ken? Like, fair play to you. But literally the last place I'll ever want to be, and I'm sure you're with me, Tony, is on a sailboat in the middle of it.
One time, when I was a kid, we used to get the ferry to Ireland, like, just on a whim. Yeah, my mum picked me up from school and was like, we're going to Ireland today. And we just get on a ferry. And you know what? Yeah, I hate boats. I hate water. Like, I'm not... Yeah, it's not for me, man. That is not for me. No, I mean, way.
Like, honestly, fuck boats. Generally. Just fuck... If it wasn't for boats, the Vikings would have never come over to England. They would have never come over to... Mark's people would have never come over to England and started smashing up our monks. Coming over here, making boats.
Coming over here.
Making boats. Sick. Fucking absolutely sick of the Danish. Absolutely sick.
Naming 60% of your cities and...
Yeah.
You know, bringing culture and good food and language and shit like that, you know. But no,
or dominating. Is
yeah, like you kind of left out the rape part. Like, yeah, you left out the rape part there, bro. Like, we bought culture and like we named your cities. Like, you did a lot of raping too, bro. Like,
so long ago now, no one remembers that.
Let's forget all the
raping. Remember low stuff though.
Yeah, it's not your fault, Mark. It's not your fault. Okay, all right. Sorry. So let's talk a bit about the fact that West Ham have drawn against Tottenham, and let's talk a bit about the fact that after five games Spurs are third in the league undefeated. Let's talk a bit about that. The performance generally though, Mark, it was a little bit shit, it was a little bit good, but overall, what did you make of it?
Yeah, that's it. It was, you know, we started well, had a lot of momentum in the beginning, sort of fizzled out a little bit. I said in our Patreon Discord after the penalty got scratched off, I was like, oh, this will be it now. We'll, you know, this will just spur us on even more. Like, fucking just watch it. There'll be a goal in the next 15 minutes. And it's almost had the opposite effect. It almost was like West Ham got a boost off it. And then we were sort of under the cosh for about, well, like 60 minutes or so. But I thought we had the last 10 minutes of the game and we finished quite strongly, which has been a theme for our first sort of five games, as we've finished pretty strongly and we've had energy throughout, enough to finish strongly. So that was one positive. But I mean, look, it's another game we didn't lose against away at a fierce London rival, a team that we know always kind of, you know, gets out of bed for us. So yeah,
so what
can't cry too much.
No. What do you make of the start to the season? The fact we've had, you know, Chelsea away, West Ham away, difficult games. We won our home games.
Yeah, I think the moaning that people are doing, like the teams that we've beat, we lost to last year. West Ham turn up, like Tottenham, West Ham, that's the cup final for them every season. Like, so they're bound to turn up. Chelsea, we don't traditionally fare well against. So, like you said, we're third in the league and undefeated after five games. Like, yesterday it was a little lackluster. There was parts of it where I was looking at it like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, we all did.
But like I said, there's one game a season they turn up for, and it's Tottenham. So they turned up for that, and we had parts of dominance. Like we were just playing them off the park. But I think they just sat so deep, we couldn't unlock it. We just didn't have the key to unlock it. But I ain't mad at all, man. We're third, and we ain't lost yet. I ain't mad at all.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. But it does. I guess the frustration, and we are gonna talk about that. The frustration from the Spurs fan base, or parts of it, in detail. But I guess the frustration comes from the fact that it doesn't feel like we've sort of kicked into gear, does it, Mark? It doesn't feel like we're playing as well as we did towards the end of the season. And remember, we went on we had six games to left, and we had to win in our eyes every single one in order to get top four football. We ended up winning five and drawing with Liverpool away. The fluidity we had at the end of last season isn't currently there, and I guess that is the seed of frustration that some fans are expelling at the moment.
Yeah, and I get it as well. I'm frustrated with how, like Tone said, how we played yesterday, how we played the four games before that. Really, I mean, even the Southampton game that we won comfortably 4-1, there were stages where I was like, this doesn't look like us from the season before. And so I get that, but we have to just keep calm and look at what we're actually achieving at the end of the day, which is still unbeaten, and with a point to tell you that we've got. I do think we've got many more gears to go. Arsenal, to name them, have started really well. They've started in top. They've started in fifth gear. We've started in second, third. We've still got so far to come. We've had a massive window. We've really had to integrate these guys, and it's Conte's first pre-season. He's definitely laid. He came in not at the start of the season, so he had to just make do with what he had. He didn't have enough time to really implement his methods, and I think we're seeing a little bit of still getting used to him because this pre-season he's definitely gone hard. I think we're going to go into it later as well. He feels really bought in. I was listening to Dan Kilpatrick on Jack to Trunk's Twitter today, and he was saying similar things about Conte as well. So I think we will still see.
What do you mean? You're seeing similar things
about Conte? Conte feels bought in. There's a level of buy-in. Yeah, Dan said that about Conte. So
he's bought into Tottenham. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I think when you have that from a manager, he's gonna put his all into it, and we know how intense he is. So I think they're just still getting used to it. We have seen some developments and some changes in how we play, how our style of play is compared to when we finished last season. So it's not, this is not the finished article. There's plenty more to come, and there's new players to embed.
Well, this is it. I mean, if you think about what we were towards the end of last season, where we were playing with such fluidity and we were damaging teams and destroying Arsenal and, you know, going away to Liverpool and should be winning, with a right wing back, Emerson Royale came in after Doherty had played so well and got injured against Aston Villa, that we, like, everything seemed to just click into gear. This isn't, like, they know what to do. Conte knows what to do. If this isn't us clicking into gear, and yet after five games we're still, what's that, 1-8 for the season? Is that right? So look, that is
such teacher. Tell us.
Yeah, I don't teach maths, bro.
What is it? There's 40 games.
38. Yeah.
More or less 1-8 for the season. Is that right? I'm pretty sure I'm written. Is it? Yeah. I don't know. Who gives a shit? Right. I'm about to get on a boat and sell around the world.
Like,
what you're saying, it's not clicking yet, right? It's not clicking, and that's evident to see. And we're still undefeated. Like, that's a positive. That's something to look at. It's not quite the way it should be. It's not flowing. It's not fluid in the way we became accustomed to towards the end of last season. And still, we haven't lost. Like, that's I don't know how we can be mad at that. Because when it does click, it's onwards and upwards.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. We did have like control for much of the first half, and it was up to the point where the VAR decision went against us. Mark, what did you make of that? The decision was that the reason why it wasn't handball is because it hit him on the face and then hit his arm. It has to hit the arm directly, apparently. Are you not fucking sick to death of fucking penalty handball decisions going against Spurs and then them going to change the rules in next season so this never happens again? Like, I couldn't see any reason. I didn't understand why they were looking at it so much, and I didn't understand that there was these predetermined rules that if it hits you in the face and then hits you in the arm, it's not a handball. Go on.
No, I mean, I literally can't fucking figure it out anymore. And I honestly think refs are like pros, right? They know what they're doing. I honestly think he saw it hit, I can't remember who it was, Creswell's head first and then hit his arm. And he still called for a pen. He did it straight away. He had a really good position. Creswell was facing him. And he had to go over to the monitor, and whoever was on VAR had to remind him that these are the rules. I genuinely think that it's such a fucking mess, and I just don't understand how it can be that we keep changing these rules all the time. You know, our fans are confused. Conte was definitely confused yesterday. He spent every press conference he had after the game talking about the VAR decision rather than his team's performance or whatever.
What did you make of that, Mark?
I think part of it was, I think for most parts, I think it was genuine. I think he's just as pissed off and frustrated as we are. But I also think there's a big element of it that is probably frustration with his team. And I actually think Conte was, the way we set up yesterday was probably part of why we didn't perform that well. We had a lot of play that went through the right wide areas, starting from Sanchez. And that just isn't the right way to do it. Easy for me to say now, hindsight, and also, you know, much cleverer at football than Conte. But I don't know if he necessarily set us up in a good enough way, and if he had a plan B, because it seemed like we were trying to do. Sorry, my cat's just jumping on the fucking table. I don't know if he really had a plan B for us to try something different. I think he was a bit frustrated with a lot of things, and he just took it out on VAR and the refs.
It's mad how a single decision can change the flow of the game, because West Ham came back into it, didn't they, Tony? It suddenly became on top a little bit. And they're a good side. Remember, they're a good side. It's not...
They fucking blow bubbles, bro. They're pricks. I'm not involved. But I think, as you were saying, you see, like, the plan B, when we was playing out, I don't want Sanchez to be on the ball, bro. I don't, like, please, too much responsibility for him. Like, just don't do it. Don't, like, and then there was no, all right, we're going to do this. We're going to go backwards a couple times. It's going to go forward. It's going to come back. And then we're going to hoof it. And it happens so consistently. Like, what is there another plan? Does he have another way of playing? I was looking at the stats, like the passes in the final third. And though we had so much possession and so much passing, their final third was like three times as much as us, because we was getting, like, it was just, yeah, I don't know.
It's difficult to, you know, we're all looking at a single game and we're getting caught up in the emotion of it. But if you look at the statistics since Conte's taken over, we're among the top goal scorers in the Premier League since March. It might have changed after this draw, but since March, we've amassed more points than anybody else in the league. Like, we are in a good position. I know people are losing their minds and they're getting frustrated, but you've got to remember where we came from a year ago, fundamentally. This is where, like, a calendar year ago right now is where we started losing 3-0 to Palace, 3-0 to Arsenal, 3-0 or 3-1 to Arsenal, 3-0 to Chelsea. You know, we were leading to the point where Conte took over, the progression from where we were back then, both in terms of recruitment and what's gone on the pitch, and how much more functional and positive we've been, and the performances you've seen from some of our players, it's a different outlook completely from where we were 12 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it's like, it feels like for some fans, we haven't moved on at all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's a weird one. Anyway, we're going to come on to that a bit more in a bit, but we got a question here from Ben Bell. How was Højbjerg not subbed at half time, or had a, or how was Højbjerg not subbed at half time, or we had a sub ready to go? Also, how did he continue to play? What is happening there? Don't recall him being effective in the second half, regardless of what am I seeing? So this is what am I missing? This is the moment where Højbjerg appeared to gesticulate that he needed to be taken off, that he had some sort of ankle injury, and Conte looked at him and said, "You just carry on playing." Mark, as a massive fan of Højbjerg, you know he's from Denmark, so what's your thoughts?
Well, I thought he came on. He obviously had that. He got hit by Rice, I think it was, just before half time. And it did look like he was still struggling after half time, but it looked like it was just his shoe at the end of it, his boot.
Is that what he was gesticulating for, a new boot?
Yeah.
So he wasn't injured?
Well, I mean, he played the rest of the half, and he didn't look, he wasn't limping after he changed.
He looked
the boot.
Fine. So it's weird. Mark, I'm watching this, right? And I'm watching it, and I'm going, well, he's injured. Why aren't they taking him off? And Conte's like, why are you pretending to be injured? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it doesn't pretend to be injured. That's weird. And in my head, this is what's going on in my head as I'm watching. I was like, fuck, there's some issue between Conte and Højbjerg. Maybe Højbjerg isn't the guy. Apparently, now, I mean, I have since realised this, that there might have been just some sort of issue with his boot, and he wasn't injured, and he was just saying, give me another fucking boot.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I don't think he... fucking hell.
Yeah, get that fucking cat out of my fucking camera.
Cat, mate. He's just... This is what he does. He fucking... Like, I've been home a couple of hours, and he comes in. He's been outside, comes in, and just won't let me alone. Leave me alone until I give him some fucking...
It's like...
Put him on a boat.
It's like eating like the fucking bro. Danish Vikings. Coming over here. Won't leave our monks alone.
Coming over here.
Awesome.
Anyway. Go on, Tony.
Yeah, what did you make of the Højbjerg situation? It was a weird one.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Like, I thought he was injured, and then you could just see him. They kept putting a camera on him, and he's just flipping the bottom. Like, the sole of his boot was just off. And then I was thinking, all right, yeah, can we not just get him another pair of boots? Can we just, like, it's a professional football club. There's lots of them hanging about. I imagine there's boots everywhere, like just boots, football shirts and boots all over the gaff. But yeah, get him a pair of boots. And it was taking far too long. The whole dynamic of him looking injured, because I thought he was injured. I thought it exactly the same thing. And like Conte said, no, you're not coming off. And then it turns out, oh, it's his boot. Well, can we hurry up and get this sorted? Because it wasn't, also he didn't have that good a game, did he, to be fair. A couple of dodgy passes backwards. And
What's your overall opinion of Højbjerg, Tone?
I quite like him. He's a better footballer than me. I'm not one of them people who sit and be like, he's shit, rare, because you can play football way better than I can, right? He can. So I'm more, there's probably somebody better, but he's not at Tottenham at the moment. So we've got Højbjerg.
Or we've got Bissouma. Bissouma, is he better? Because his performance yesterday wasn't...
I wasn't impressed at all. Do you know what? In the second half, there was a period where he seemed to show for the ball a bit more, and then start looking for a pass. Like there was a bit in the second period where he started to do that. But the first half, yeah, he was awful. I think he got booked too early as well. He got himself a booking and that meant he couldn't go all the way in for the rest of the game because he got booked so early. So I don't know. Okay. I'd like to see Bentancur and Bissouma in the midfield as a midfield pairing rather than Højbjerg.
Bissouma seemed really excited to be out there. Like it's almost like he'd been waiting for a club the size of Spurs to come in for him, and now he's sort of super giddy. You know when we got that last minute goal against Chelsea to draw, and he was G'ing up the crowd and running towards them.
Yeah,
it felt in that performance that he was just trying to be a little bit too eager, and the player we saw at Brighton was one who was calm and reading the game and just pouncing constantly. And we didn't see that against West Ham. I felt like it got a bit better of him a little bit, but I saw enough to think there's a player there. He's quality. Bissouma
is definitely quality. A good player.
Yeah, 100%.
100%.
Yeah, yeah. It's just about, it's what's he played? Like fucking 100 minutes for Spurs now? Maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, he played all the game yesterday. Did he get taken off? He played all the game yesterday. And he's played about 7 or 8 minutes in the other game. So, it's just the start. It's just the start.
I was going to say, what do you think about Conte's faith in his bench? Because I think it took way too long to make a substitution yesterday.
It felt like a long time, didn't it? Yeah.
It felt like ages. Like after there was about 7, 8 minutes left before. So I'm sure that's how long it went. It just seemed like, can we change this around and bring somebody else on? Like, is he confident in his bench? Does he think someone can come on and make a difference?
It's a good question. Mark, what do you think?
It is a good question. I think it's less about lacking confidence in the bench, and I think it's more about just not wanting to expose them too early. He's kind of hinted that he has chosen in the start of the season to go with this, essentially the start, what we would normally call the starting 11, right? The team that started last season, even though we all agree, and it's certainly the first game, I mean, he started the two first games with Sessegnon and then brought in even Perisic, who everyone on the planet knows is a far better player than Sessegnon. Not because Sessegnon's bad, even Perisic is just an elite player. But that is what he's doing. He's bringing these players in slowly, so that they're not just all exposed and then they lose confidence. And it's going to take them a lot longer to regain that confidence. And we just don't really have the time to do that. We need to start strong and we can't really lose momentum. It's better to start slow and then build up than to start high and crash. So you've seen this from again, teams like Arsenal in previous seasons. He's blown his load too early in the season and then hasn't been able to catch up throughout. So that's more what he's doing. He's just integrating people slowly and surely.
Tone, what do you think was happening with Son? Because he was disappointing again. I know he was a whisker hair from scoring, but it was no goal. But again, he wasn't quite up to it.
You know what? I think yesterday was a proper... It's one of them, when it's not going for you, it's not going for you. Because I tweeted about it. They put it on his toe. It was like it was on a plate for him and it was still an own goal. Like it was right there. All he had to do was just a stud. Like the colour of his sock could have touched the ball and it had gone in. And still somebody nicked it away. I just think he's going through. I mean, he had a purple patch last season. He top scorer, had an incredible season. And I think he's just going through a little bit of a bad spell.
All players that,
For instance, I told you, I had writer's block. I forgot how to rap. I forgot completely how to rap, bro. And then I asked you, what would you say if you was talking about Tottenham? You said something, and then I wrote that the piece that was you played on the pod.
Yeah.
And I think it's just all that's going to happen. He's going to have one game when it just clicks for him again. Everything just makes sense for him again, and then we'll wonder what the blip was about. We'll be past it. And he'll be back doing what he normally does.
I really hope so. I really hope so. I do feel like this might be something... I don't want to say.
Do you?
I feel like it
might... Do you, Sam?
I feel like it might be a little bit... There's something significant happening, and I don't know what it is. I don't know. I don't know. Well, I don't want to bring light to it too much, but yeah, it was a shame. It was a shame. And Richarlison came on, and he tried his best, but the game kind of felt... It was just a weird game. It was a weird sort of stagnant game, a weird one because against West Ham, generally you feel like... at no point did I feel a huge amount of emotion about it, which, I don't know, maybe says more about me than it does about Spurs, but it wasn't the spectacle. But what you got to remember is that, you know, West Ham away and Chelsea away aren't easy for Tottenham. It's a different for Man City playing Chelsea away and West Ham away. Completely different. Man City, because they don't have that emotional investment. We know how important that emotional investment is. For West Ham, it's a massive, massive game. For us, off the pitch, it's a massive game for fans because, you know, you get so much stick between us. But for the clubs on the pitch, it really means very little. It's not Spurs-Arsenal. It's nothing like it. No. It's not even Spurs-Chelsea. It's nothing like it. It's just... But, you know, I don't know.
Good for them, look. They like it. They turn up for it. We don't care.
Yeah, but...
They're smooth, right?
But, yeah, but it's just, you know, it's just... It's a game that you have to get out of the way, and if you win, you can win, and if you don't, then just don't lose. And we didn't lose last night, and as we keep going back to, the fact that Spurs are third in the league, 11 points from 15, that is a fucking great start. If we'd won that game last night, if Souček hadn't scored that goal, which is pretty much the only decent chance they had, I know Antonio hit a beautiful strike, but it was like a one in a million kind of hit. Then Spurs have had their best start since the 60s. The 60s. That's how good our start's been, since the 60s. And yet people are still fucking angry. This is a good time to move on to the fact that the transfer window is pretty much over. We're not doing any more business. Brian Hill is staying at Spurs. We haven't been able to get the player in to replace him. What did you make of that, Mark? The fact that we weren't willing to let Brian Hill go to Valencia because we didn't have a player to replace him. Should we have let him go and do what he wants to do because he clearly wanted to leave the club? Or was it right for us to say, no, you can't leave because we couldn't get the player in, and whether it be Dan James, Carrasco, or whoever, or Pulisic, or whoever else we were linked with?
Mm. Of course it's right, yeah. Of course it's right. It's the right thing to do. We can't... It matters less to us as a club that Hill, if everyone stays fit, won't play that much. But it's about, you know, it's the same reasons why we've always said that this has been a good transfer window for Spurs, is because it's about squad depth. It's about building us. You know, we know that the 11 that we put out on the pitch are going to be great players, but we also need, like Tony said earlier, have a good bench. We need to have some players that we trust on the bench. Hill for his talent, is criminally underused. So there's a really good player there, and just bring it. It felt like a little bit like we were getting a little bit desperate, trying to find a replacement for Hill so that we could let him go and do what he wanted, which is great.
But Dan James would have been a downgrade on Brian Hill.
Massive downgrade, a monumental down. I mean, fuck me. I would have gone and pulled a Spurs shirt on. I would have done more than Dan James. He's probably a lovely little Welsh boy, but he's not a good footballer. That's why he's not made it. He's on the bench at Leeds, for fuck's sake, and now he's going to Fulham. You know, that says it all. He didn't make it at United, didn't make it at Leeds, and now he's gone off to Fulham on loan, I think. So it's not even a purchase. So, yeah, it's just not... It wouldn't have been the one. Good luck to him, you know, fine. But it would have been an absolute waste of a squad slot for us.
You were dissing Dan James there, but I've just googled it, and the Vikings never took control of Wales, apparently.
It's just too far, and they're weird, man.
Well, overcame the powers. They never overcame the powers of the Welsh kings. So that you've got an axe to grind with the Welsh, clearly.
Maybe some of my best friends are Welsh.
Yeah, are they? Keep your enemy close. Keep your enemy close.
Still trying.
Tony, do you have sympathy for the Enoch Out So whenever I say Enoch out, I say Enoch out brigade, because that's sort of pejorative, isn't it? I want to start this segment by saying that I understand why people are frustrated, but I'm asking the question: do you have sympathy with the Enoch out brigade, the Enoch out lads or ladies on Twitter?
To an extent, like, I don't even know, to be honest with you, because at this moment, it seems all right. We've got what we had found, like what we've been asking for a little while, right? We've got a good quality manager, and they opened up the checkbook for him and said, like, he said, I want him, and him, and they got who we wanted at the beginning. So they're like, we got to wait and see. Like, Rome wasn't built in a day, so we're at a brand new stage. So we had the back end of last season with Conte. This is his first. He's got pre-season. It's his first full season in. They've given him who he wants, who he asks for the most part. I'd like, just stop moaning for a minute and wait and see what happens. That's how I feel about them. Like, they're too vocal every week. Like some games give it a rest. Not every day be mad at people.
What about you, Mark? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm definitely more Enoch in than I'm Enoch out. I think that's I've never really, that's never really been a question for me. I think it's silly. I think it's a wrong time for us for fans to go out and be up in arms. And I don't even know what it is they're up in arms about anymore. It all seems extremely short-sighted. Tony just said it. We're building something, you know. Like, what? Why are we fucking moaning again? We've not even seen what Conte can actually do and Paratici can actually do. I get this thing about we had £150 million war chest, but we've spent £125 million. So it's like, what do you want extra? You want to just spend that £25 million just because you have it? Fucking put that shit in the bank and use it in January or next summer. Like, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater just yet. It's way too early to start panicking. I see people complaining that we're still playing the first 11, but we just explained to everyone 15 minutes ago why that is. And we have an amazing bench of players to come on. So, yeah, the short-termism, I don't get. The long-termism is even more insane because look where we were 20 years ago. We've said this so many times on the pod, and I did a long diatribe around it when we got the £150 million war chest. That's exactly why Enoch are such good proprietors of this club and have been, because they're putting their own money in. We have not gone and lifted up our skirt and sold our ass to a dodgy regime somewhere else in the world, or invited some random investment banker in to just do what they want with the club. And look, I could go on for another 10 minutes about why I think Enoch is an excellent long-term proprietor of our club. But I won't bore you all with that now.
Well, the reason why I ask you is because the Fighting Cock has had a reputation now that we are on the Enoch payroll. Not physically, not actually, but...
I wish, mate. I fucking wish.
I mean, it'd be amazing. I'd be on a lot more if we was. Give me some of that Enoch money, bro.
but this is a good time to talk about it, because Tony and Mark if someone's saying, if they're asking about have we been on the payroll of Daniel Levy, it wouldn't be based on what Mark and Tony are saying. It's based on what we've been saying, like, on the podcast for the last 3 or 4 years. So the important point I'm making here is that Tony and Mark aren't, like, they're not probably the voice of the Fighting Cock, so they just have their own voices, right? Sussex Spurs, he said, or Sussex Tottenham, he says, how long have you boys been on the Levy payroll? And I responded and said, look, we're going to include that question in the running order, because in the interest in balance, we want to get your idea or your solution as to what Daniel Levy and Enoch have done wrong and what they should have done, and how we can have a balanced argument about whether or not Daniel Levy is good for Tottenham or not. And
I don't know if you can have a balanced argument. Like I've been doing a lot of reading and a lot of like just watching stuff lately. And like the average reading age in this country is 9 years old. The average adult reads at the level that a 9 year old reads at, right? That if you read The Sun, it's 8 years old, right? So you're talking about that's the average. So across this whole country, the average adult looks at words that 9 year olds are reading. And then once you take the reading out, comprehension is a whole different thing, right? So you can read the words, each individual word, but you might not necessarily be able to explain what you've just read. So see that cuts across a huge swathe of just the adults of this country. So that's the Tottenham fans are, a lot of them are adults, right? So there's going to be a percentage of them that are unable. So they'll hear what you're saying and they only weigh it up with there's no way of taking out their own bias. There's no way of them not understanding that their point of view
aren't we also equally giving our own bias to the situation? Like me backing Daniel Levy is the same thing, right? We're all sort of preloaded.
It definitely is. But you can have a conversation, like you just said, you want to have how do we have an open conversation? How do we have a debate, a back and forth over it? Where if somebody's already decided that you have an agenda, so you're on the payroll when you're not, they're not in a position to begin this. Like, it's not a good starting point. It's a bad faith argument. So, and like I said, it goes with everything. It doesn't matter what, if you're talking football or politics or whatever it is, you've just got people who are unable to get their own, they just remove their own bias. So they put what they think onto you and then make you defend yourself, even though it's not true. It's something that they have in their ideology that you are definitely doing.
Okay, so how do we move forward? We have to get people on who feel like that like an anti-Enoch argument needs to be discussed on a decent level, isn't it? So it's
maybe
Sussex Tottenham can come on and we'll talk about it, and without any kind of like back and forth or it's not about discrediting them. It's just generally a honest conversation about what is happening at Spurs. I think that's probably the best way to do it. Tony, before you said that, that didn't even cross my mind. But you're right. Like what I said was, let's get your response to your tweet and Twitter being a terrible way to actually have a decent amount of discourse. Let's just have a worst place. So maybe, all right, I'll tell you what, Sussex Tottenham, let's get you on next week if you want to. If you don't, it doesn't matter, and we never have to revisit it again, and we never have to talk about it again. But we can talk about what's going on at Spurs and why you think that Daniel Levy and Enoch are bad for Tottenham, and why I and maybe whoever else is on thinks that they are good for Tottenham. But just in interest of the fact that I asked him to respond and he did, I want to read out his tweet, and we don't have to go into it because it's probably not fair. As Tony said, it's not the best place to have a discourse. But Sussex Tottenham said, we've not improved our back three. Our right winger can't cross. We have Champions League football playing three up top with two as cover. That's it. Others around us have strengthened. Zero creativity in midfield. All this on the back of years of neglect. Okay, so what... Let's talk about that next week, Sussex Tottenham. If you're up for coming on the pod, like I say, if you're not, doesn't matter. You don't even have to respond. It doesn't matter. Right, let's move on to Barcelona Spurs. Which one of you volunteers to go back in time and destroy Skynet before they switch on Haaland, mate? Tony, have you ever seen a forward as good as him? It's unreal. Like, I know we love Harry Kane, and Harry Kane is gonna break Shearer's record, but Haaland will destroy everything if we allow him to. We've got to break him down. We've got to kill him somehow.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, Quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You know what? He is a machine. Is it like, do you know what he is? He's the player that you make on FIFA, or like, or he's the guy that you just, and everything's 99. You just put everything up.
He can beat up his dad at 7 years old.
Yeah, bro.
Alfinger Haaland got fucked up in that household.
Yeah, of course he did. Of course he did. Couldn't even sleep next to his missus. Mama, it's my mum. I'm there.
Yeah, my wife. My wife.
Haaland
fucked his own mum. That's the only.
You heard it here first.
Like, look at your dad. You ain't me. You are not me.
Tony, what are you employed as again? Just share that with everyone.
We're way past that.
That's way too late.
Honestly,
they can't kick me out now. I've been there. My feet are under the table. They can't kick me out, bro.
I'm not fucking leaving. honestly, as a member of the Premier League's fan base, you know, if you forget partisanship, what are we going to do about Haaland? Because he's unreal. He's a fellow Nord. Like he would have been fucking Ragnarok. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's the best.
You're doing this again. You did this last week as well. Ragnarok is not a North. He'd have been like Thor or Odin or something like that. Like,
oh God,
Ragnarok is like an event. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
He's the best thing to come out of Scandinavia since fucking Bacon.
No, that is an absolute lie.
What else has come out of Scandinavia since Bacon? I don't know. Ireland?
We always go on these little. You always like cuss me out about my heritage, and then I have to defend it. And
I'm not digging you out about your heritage. You need to take responsibility for that Haaland's going to come over to the Premier League and destroy everything that Kane has done.
This is true, and it is my fault, and that is true. Someone called him a meat shield. He's fucking. He's insane.
Unreal, isn't he?
Scandinavian standards. Scandinavian people are big. I'm quite atypical. I'm short and getting fat, but I'm still skinny. I'm like skinny fat. He's intense for a Scandinavian.
He's unbelievable,
person.
Isn't he?
He's almost like. I shouldn't say this, but he's almost like he looks like a robot as well. You know,
yeah.
Like he's kind of, that's probably not okay to say anymore, but he's definitely just,
he doesn't have the face of a normal human, bro. Like,
he just doesn't, does he?
Yeah, he doesn't. It's like when they was making him, they only had those lips left. Like they got all the other parts and it was bang on and they were, we've only got those lips. Don't worry. Just put them on. Don't worry about it.
Bones are like, yeah, do you want to like the size of my forehead? I've got a big old forehead.
Everything is just big, oversized.
Something else is going on, though, boys. Something else is going on because he can't be the son that got broken by Roy Keane. He cannot be.
This is the revenge, bro. This is like one day you're going to see he's just going to jump over the board on the side and slide tackle Roy Keane as he's doing an interview on the side of the pitch and just break both of his legs. Not like this. He's been plotting this for years. And now his son is in the league, ready to take out Roy Keane.
Do you know the record for most goals in a Premier League season is 32? League goals.
He's going to smash the shit out of
him. He has 9 in 5 games. So all he has to do is score another 20... Fucking help me here, boy. 23? 22? 23? Whatever it is, it isn't much, given the fact he's already scored fucking 2 hat-tricks.
And he's at City. Who all they do is score goals.
They're not even used to playing with him yet. That's the scary part. Like you look at his look at his heat map in his last game, and it's just all. It's not even outside of the box. It's all just in the box, on top of the fucking keeper the whole game. And like that's just what they're going to do. I mean, Pep said it early on. It was like after the first game where he didn't score, oh, we're not quite used to playing with him yet. And once they start getting the balls in, oh, he'll do much better. And like, hasn't he just like nine goals in five games?
What do you think it's like to be him? Like, be him right now, knowing that he's 22 years old and he's already probably, I wouldn't even say, you've got to say he's the best number nine in the world. But if Real Madrid wanted to buy...
I think Benzema would have something to say about that, but close.
Do you not think that Real Madrid would say, swap Benzema with Haaland right now? They'd do it in a harp.
End of the season. I don't know.
100%, mate. They would. It's not fair.
Yeah, he's like a Ivan Drago. That's who he reminds me of.
We need Romero. Yes.
I was just thinking that.
This way, he's an absolute, just a beast. A beast.
He does.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Rocky when they were just like, they did the warm up and Rocky was doing like lifting up, like hitting bits of meat and lifting up bits of wood? And
yep.
It cut across to Ivan Drago and they're just injecting him with fucking drugs.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is propaganda. And at the end of that Rocky IV, they were like, because this is during the Cold War between Russia and America. They're all going, we just need to get on with each other. But you've just shown the Russian athletes, Ivan Drago, to be injecting fucking steroids into his arm. That isn't fair, is it? If he dies, he dies.
He dies.
Anyway, boys. We can't stop Haaland. He's inevitable. The only way he doesn't break the Premier League goal-scoring record and destroy everything that Kane has you know, achieved before him is if he joins Real Madrid, because he isn't going to give a shit about those records. So let's just hope he fucks off eventually. It's like the idea that it'd be great to see Messi in the Premier League. It'd be great to see Ronaldo back. It ain't great.
Only if they come to your team. If they're at your team, excellent. Yeah. Other than that, you don't want them there.
I've got no time for football purists. I've got no time at all to them. If you're into football more than you're into your club, you can fuck off. In my opinion,
I'm with you, Flaz.
Thank you. Mark isn't, because he likes football. Do you, Mark?
No comment.
You want to know those ones, Mark?
No comment. Nah, fuck that. I mean, well, to a certain degree, but like not.
You wouldn't want Messi joining Arsenal, would you? Just to see him in the league?
No. If it makes me feel good, but it doesn't hurt me in any type of way, great, I'm in. But if it means that another team is going to beat us, which, you know, we've got City in two games, and fuck me, that looks pretty tasty and scary and all that. So yeah, I'm not a purist to that degree. But yeah, I liked watching their games in the German. I mean, he was even more scary in the Bundesliga. But it doesn't hurt me. But he will definitely hurt me. He will when we play him. It will, and when he scores those goals, he will literally, it will feel like we're all getting just bullied by him. Imagine being a kid in his, like, imagine me, little ginger cunt, in his class, right, in his school. I'd be so bullied by him every day. He'd just take his big blonde hair and just whip me with it.
Yeah. Hitler would have fucking loved Haaland.
Ah, he'd be up his ass.
Exactly. So that's where we're at, boys and girls, is the fact that if you're back in Holland, you're back in the Nazis.
Yeah, Aryan white supremacy. Yeah, we don't do none of that.
That's not a positive thing, is it, Tony?
No, it's definitely not. He's the old Aryan, isn't he? Like, 6'3", just flowing blonde locks.
If there was, you know, like if you're in like fucking some sort of jail in America and you have to group up with your ethnicity, whatever it might be, and you... If you're a white guy, you look across at Erling Haaland and he's tatted to fuck all over his face, you're thinking, yeah, we're going to win.
Yeah.
We're going to win. But that's the Premier League right now. We're looking at an Aryan fucking blood lord.
I definitely are. Yeah, see, mate, yeah, you don't want him in your cell. You don't want to share a cell with Haaland. He'll have you on toast, mate.
He will. That is what the Scandinavians do. They come over and rape people.
We've come full circle.
And Mark, that isn't even the end of the podcast.
We're going to get back to it again by the end. Don't worry.
Fucking hell.
Anyway, in terms of.
There is a way to stop him.
Could it be? Oh, I was going to say. Could it be Sanchez? We had Sanchez has conceded one goal in over 10 hours of football. I know he hasn't. You know, he doesn't. You know, reclaim the idea that he does not. We do not concede goals with Sanchez at the back. But we've got a question from James Doyle. He says, "What are your thoughts on all the passing at the back with Lloris, Sanchez, etc., looking so uncomfortable doing so?" Mark, what do you think of that? My dad will tell you that you need to pump it long at every opportunity, but we've seen. Go on.
Yeah, no, but yeah, that's not how Conte plays. Conte plays, you know, builds from the wide areas, all that sort of stuff. We saw, it's usually if Lloris is spreading, you know, you see our left centre back and our right centre back, they drop back and then they prepare to receive the ball and then we build attacks through either wide area. That's pretty common. For this game, for whatever reason, I imagine it's because we've got Fornals and Suchek on the right hand side facing us, and we've got Bowen and Rice on the left hand side. So we're gonna go, okay, the right hand side is easier to build through because Bowen and Rice are both far superior footballers to Suchek and Fornals. So that's probably why we're trying that. But yeah, I mean, like, it's fucking really... Sorry, it's just the neighbour's cat just walked in now. I'm fucking surrounded by cats. It is shit to watch if you're not having success with it. And if you know as well as a fan, these guys are just not... Sanchez is not a ball progressor. He's not a ball hunter. He's actually a really good defensive centre-back. He's not a progressive, he's not a roaming, aggressive centre-back that loves to run out of his area like Romero is. He shouldn't be playing in that role. And you know, maybe we should be going long, but then that's Conte like throwing his book out the window and changing his style, and he just doesn't really do that.
We don't want to do that. Well, we need him to be Antonio Conte. And we
just need Sanchez to be better, man.
It will be fine, because we have one of the best coaches in Europe, if not the world. The world. We have one of the best coaches in the world following engineering shit at Tottenham. It'll be fine. Just sit back, and there may be moments where it isn't fine, and there may be moments where we start to question ourselves. But if you go from where we are right now, which is so far advanced from where we were 12 months ago, if you look at where we are 12 months from now, I bet it will be so much further forward. So just sit back, understand and realise that football isn't based on a single result, and just enjoy it. Enjoy the fact that we're third in the league. You know, one of the best starts we've ever had. And people are saying, like Wednesday Boy, he says, has Conte been found out already? I mean, if he's been found out, like, what manager do you want to come in who's going to be less found out than Conte? That only Arsenal are having this fucking weird mental run, which is effectively impacting how all Spurs fans feel about Spurs right now because of Arsenal doing well. But imagine a manager that you've got doing better than Klopp is doing. Klopp's an incredible manager, right? Conte currently is a better manager in terms of like domestic form. What do you want? Tony, what do they want? I don't know what they want.
They want it all, bro. They want, you know what? They want it all. But I don't understand, like, generation-wise even. If you're under 30, let me get my years right, 1992, yeah. If you're under 30, you're kind of used to this, right? You're kind of used to, like, all right, trophies are not in abundance. Do you know what I mean? We've struggled season after season. It's only very recently that we've consistently hit the top four. Like, and it consistently, season after season, hit the top four. So what do you want? Like, just sit back and enjoy the ride. We're in one of the best positions we've been in for the longest time. We've got a world-class manager. Like, we've got players on board. It just has to start clicking. And I think the fact that the other lot over there are doing quite well at the moment, but who have they played? Like, they haven't played anybody yet. And we've got some of our toughest games out of the way already. Like, West Ham away, Chelsea away.
Like, you haven't lost.
Yeah, traditionally, tough games. And we've managed to weather the storm and get through there. So I kind of who's really grumpy? Who's making this their making it such an agenda? Because what are you expecting? What happened before? It's not like we won the league 3-4 years in a row and then nothing and nothing's happened. No, we've just been plodding along, and we're in a pretty good position right now. So yeah, I don't know what they mad at.
Mark, anything to add that before we close?
Totally agree. I think it's just about staying calm. This will improve, and we're still grinding our points. So no, it's fine. I mean, look, Arsenal will get their tough run. In October they play us, Chelsea, City. They've got Europa League. They're going to fucking Norway and all sorts of places. So their time will come, and we've started really tough fixtures. So now it's all going to be fine. Just fucking chill out.
Their fans are doing backflips. If we beat Fulham at home for the weekend and they lose to Manchester United away, we're 1 point behind them. And their fans are like, this is the second coming of fucking Arsene Wenger or whoever it might be. The same Arsene Wenger they wanted to fucking bomb out the fucking football club.
Yeah.
It's the football is not... They're just... It's going to happen, boys. Boys and girls, listen to this. If it's going to happen, the fact that they are going to turn on their manager. It won't... There'll be multiple times this season, 2 or 3 times this season, where hashtag Arteta out will be trending. I guarantee it. They're pussy.
You can put your house on it. You can put your house on it.
100%.
It's bound to happen.
They'll do what they did last season. They'll win some games. They've started winning some games. But as soon as they get up against a team that go at them, I mean, they've played teams like Leicester, Aston Villa, Bournemouth. Have they played Fulham? Anyway, they haven't played anyone of quality. Like, once they get up against a side that bests them, both physically and tactically, but also mentally, which is...
And then they have a Thursday game to play, Thursday night game
to play. And they are not, they're still not mentally strong. Because like we said last season, and we saw that last season, but we also said it, they can't handle it.
There's a weird thing about the great thing that they're top of the league, winning 5 in a row. Their expectation levels have gone through the roof. The minute they start to falter, they will fall apart because you know they're fucking weird. They're weird. Yeah, they cannot cope. They've had no adversity. That's the problem. And the irony of this is that they should have. They should have learned their lessons. When they turned on Arsene Wenger and destroyed him, the geezer who gave you everything, they destroyed. What are they going to do with Arteta when he doesn't deliver? They will snap his neck. So they were kind to Arsene Wenger to a certain extent because of what he'd done. Thanks for the memories, but something has to change. What are they going to do with Arteta when stuff doesn't go well? There is no room for manoeuvre in the Arsenal fan base.
Do you know what they're going to do? They're going to scalp him and give his hair back to the Lego man he nicked it off of. That's
exactly
what they're going to do.
That's exactly what's going to happen, mate.
100%.
They will turn on him quicker than anything you know. Anyway, this has been the Fighting Cop podcast. Thank you very much, Tony D.
Absolute pleasure, bro. Thanks for having me on, man. Thank you.
Mate, I love you. You're welcome.
Love you
anytime.
Too, bro.
Mark, thank you so much, mate. I love you too.
Cheers. Aw, love you too.
Say it back, yeah.
I nearly didn't, and then
but you did. Then you did.
Just because I'm on video, and I did.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You did. All right. Take care, boys.
Take it easy. Flat face and prick. We can get sticky in the mini sucking willy. When you're getting grilly, yeah, you're gonna bang the millie. Bang, bang.
Social Podcast Network.